Morning. So this morning we're continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount, and we're at the third, "You have heard it said" statement, "but I say to you." Today my son is here, and this lesson means a bit more to me because of it. As a parent, you know you make a lot of promises to your kids. Mine's in kind of the area of, if you know the Disney movie Tarzan, I'll be there for you, is kind of a lot of the promises that I've made. But our lesson today is talking about oaths and the doing the oaths that you say. Perhaps the two biggest areas of not keeping your oaths, of cheating, are taxes and school. And the statistics of school is that every single student cheats at some point. They may not do it every time, they may not do it often, but at some point they've cheated on something. Time magazine published an article called "Cheating, Everyone is Doing It." And kind of the point of that article is the prevalence of cheating and dishonesty that's in our society today. And it's gotten to the point that we expect everyone to cheat. Sociologists actually came up with a test that encouraged people to cheat to see whether they actually would do it. And they divided them into two groups. And to one group they said, we want you to write as many of the Ten Commandments as you can remember. To the other group they said, we want you to write the recent movies that you've seen. And then they gave them the test and they said, we want you to cheat. And the results were very interesting, really. The group that was given the Ten Commandments actually cheated far less than those who were just asked to write the movies. And it didn't matter how many of the Ten Commandments they remembered, it just mattered that it was brought to their attention, really. Just by thinking about it, their desire to cheat went down. And we seem to have this thought in the back of our minds that it's wrong to cheat. We need to be honest. And simply just bringing that to the forefront of our memory allows us and helps us to do so. And kind of it's that encouragement of keep godly things at the forefront of your mind. Constantly looking at, maybe thinking about what God said, your Bible reading that morning, your prayer life that afternoon, whatever it may be. Always keeping God at the forefront is a way to aid you in doing that. But sometimes it's not always as easy and cut as dry as that. And that was true in Jesus' day too. And to that he says, I want to talk about this thing of integrity. That it's above our own selfish desires, really. And how there's always this great temptation to fudge the truth. To not tell the truth because it doesn't look as good as I want it to be. So I'm going to fudge a little bit so it looks nicer, looks better. If we're going to be serious followers of Jesus, though, we need to be telling the truth, even if it damages our plans, our way of life, even if it sets us back. Jesus says we need to be that serious about it. Jesus says, don't break oaths, but keep them. In other words, don't say something that you're going to do and then not do it. He says, don't swear at all. The areas that he talks about don't swear, we oftentimes think because of the language that it means you can't say, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. We think that we can't say that. And that's a handy interpretation, but it's kind of a using, a misuse of what's meaning there. This passage is not so much about swearing as it is integrity. Everyone knows that as a kid there is a way to tell a lie, but it doesn't count, and that is to cross your fingers. By the way, there's a statute of limitations of when that works. It kind of runs out once you get over 18. You can't do that. This passage is about the ancient art of crossing your fingers. If I don't say something, or if I say something to you and I don't swear by anything important, cross my fingers, then it doesn't count. I don't have to keep it. I don't have to tell the truth. I only have to tell the truth if I swear by something important, right? What the passage is about is having integrity. And Jesus says, okay, what I'm telling you is you shouldn't swear at all. That is, you shouldn't have to make an oath because Your word is your bond. It doesn't have to have anything added to it for people to believe you. They should believe you because they know who you are and you do what you say. It's let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything above that is evil. In other words, I want you to have integrity so deep that you have no need to try and convince people that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Because when people know who you are, they know that when you say something, it will be done as best as you can unless some catastrophe happens or something like that. There are times when integrity is easy to have, but integrity really proves itself when it's not. One Bible professor I know said he wanted to make sure his students realized how much integrity they really had, and so he came up with this test, and he said, suppose you are at the last semester of your college experience. You're ready to graduate. You have a job lined up that's going to pay very well in your field. You have a person that's ready to marry you once you graduate. Life is perfect. Then you get the dreaded call from the registrar's office. You're one course short of graduating. You complain. You pry, you try to negotiate, but you should know this, it's easier to negotiate with a terrorist than to negotiate with the registrar's office. You finally give up and say, okay, what do I need to do? Well, you need an English course. So you go and you find the one class that will fit into your already packed schedule, Early American Literature. The first thing you have to read is The Scarlet Letter, and you read that and you think, how can something, topic so interesting, can these Puritans make it so boring? So you get through that loser there, then you have to read Huckleberry Finn, and you're delighted, and you think, I didn't even know this was literature, it's so easy. And then you get to poetry, and nothing rhymes. But it's okay, because poetry is short. You don't have a lot of reading to do that. Now, you're not doing great, but you're managing. And then you come to the last assignment in the course, which is to read the great American novel, which everyone knows is Moby Dick. Those who don't know this, Moby Dick is a 800-page, dense pages on whaling, the subject of whaling. Now, not many of us have dealings with whales past the occasional travelers, tourist occasion stuff. Whaling has not been a part of your life up to this point, and you don't think that's going to change anytime in the future. You think, I've been a good sport up until now. I'm not going to read Moby Dick. I've got a lot of other finals to study for, so you begin to prepare otherwise. You read the Cliff Notes, you read the Spark Notes, because you figure whoever wrote these has a better understanding about this book than I ever will. But you don't stop there. You watch the movies. You watch the one with Gregory Peck. You watch the one with the Star Trek guy. You're not expecting to get an A, but you just want to get a C so that you can get on with your life. You come to the test, the final exam, and this mean, evil, vindictive professor puts one question on the test. Did you read Moby Dick? Now, if you answer this truthfully, you will get a 0 on the final. You will fail the course. You will not graduate. You will not get that job that's lined up. And that person who's going to marry you is probably not going to marry you because they don't want to marry a loser like you who can't get one course done. This is all the thoughts rushing through your head that you might be thinking of. And the question is, do you cheat? In that situation, what would be your decision? Do you say, yes, I read it and lie? Or do you say no and face the repercussions of your actions? And amazingly, the students who don't seem to think at all throughout this class become theologians of whether they would cheat or not. There's always those in the crowd who think, well, I wouldn't have gotten that situation. I would have read the book. Let's play by the situation here. You can't go back in time to change things. This is a situation you have. You don't say, well, I'll go back. But some of them think, oh, okay, God is timeless. So if I say yes and I read it later, it'll be okay, the same with God. They come up with different ways to say it. 95% of these students of this professor say, yes, they would lie. If they're honest with themselves, yeah, If that was the situation, they would lie. And they begin to explain why it would be the right thing to do to lie. The author's dead. It's a victimless crime. God wants me to marry that person. God wants me to get that job so I can start paying money to the poor. You know, the 5% of those who say they wouldn't lie, we want to really ask, is that seriously what you do? I don't want to say that that's not possible, but I want to really challenge it. Is that really what you would do? Kind of the same question for us today. What would you do in a situation where it's not such a huge lie, and it has great consequences if you don't lie? Here's an unsettling truth. If the cost is high enough for most of us, our integrity is in fact for sale. What I mean is there is a point where it can be reached where you just say, doing the right thing is just too hard. And if we go through life with the rest of our life thinking is the telling the truth is based on the benefits versus cost analysis, we're going to lie a lot. I don't know if you noticed, we have an integrity problem in our society today. And Jesus comes along and says, I want you to have integrity so strong that when you say yes, it always means yes. When you say no, it always means no. That is this teaching that Jesus gives that revolutionized the world. And we're still talking about it some 2,000 years later of what Jesus taught. There was a well-known Christian speaker who got up to speak one time and he said, I want to talk to you about integrity. And you're thinking, oh, this is going to be good. I want to hear about integrity. And he says, I went to the three of the most successful people I know and I asked them, what is the key to your success? And all three of them said, integrity. And you will never recover from that. Because the reason, the number one reason, the first reason you told them why they should have integrity is because it always leads to success. And then also think, probably it leads to monetary success. It's not always the case. Anybody can have integrity when it leads to success. The question we want to ask today is, will you have integrity when it leads to the cross? So Jesus says, there's no point in swearing. You need to be so much like your Heavenly Father that yes means yes and no means no. And truthfulness is a way of life. And the reason that we're not going to cheat is this, because that's not the kind of people we Christians are. We're people that have been formed by the Sermon on the Mount. We're people who have been formed by the teachings of Jesus. And when we understand this, yes has to mean yes, and no has to mean no. At least that's Jesus' opinion. Back to our students with the debate question. Some of them think, it seems so trivial. The crime isn't that high, and the consequences of not lying are huge, are extreme. Another said, I'd probably give in, but I would feel completely guilty about it from that point on. I'd always look back and think, my graduation was tainted. Another said, at the beginning of my freshman year, I would have said, definitely yes, cheat. But as I've matured, I'm thinking is, no, I'm a Christian. I need to say the truth and take my chances at what the outcome might be. Maybe that's the professor will be astounded by my honesty and pass me. Who knows? Is integrity something you can sort of have? I don't really think it is. I hope that we see that the difficulty when the stakes are high is there. That the temptation is very real to fudge the truth. Change it just a little bit so it's not as sharp of a pain to deal with. And if we don't shore up this, if we don't solidify it, if we don't talk about when this comes up, this is the decision I'm going to make, we'll fall for it because we haven't prepared ourselves. And the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 4:2, to be ready in season and out of season. We think that simply means talking to someone about Jesus, but I think it also means having preset made our decisions of, if faced with this decision, I'm going to do this. So we prepare ourselves for when that comes up. So are you ready to say no to the temptations to lie or to cheat, even when the truth will in fact set you back in life? Are you willing to do that? If we make our decisions on cost-benefit analysis, there's going to be a lot of dishonesty in our life. At some point, we've got to come to the conclusion that we're going to tell the truth because that's the kind of people we are. We're God's people. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to make his opinions on what life should be our way of life. And that's what he calls us to do. That's a simple invitation. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Question today, do you need Jesus? The answer is definitely yes. Do you need the prayers of the church today? Be honest with yourself. Do you need to come forward and just have some prayers to be said over you? Health, life decisions, whatever it may be. Or do you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time? If you have any of those needs, I want you to come tell me during this next song. Let's stand and sing.